Hi guys, welcome to another quick podcast. Today's episode is on attachment styles, so it's a bit of an inner game podcast. Some quick upsells before we begin. You can find all the information about my books, my Patreon, and my coaching on my website, which is thomascrownpua.com. In terms of books, I sell my first year of day game memoir, my texting guide, intermediate textbook, and a book of all my best blog posts. You'll find all the information for coaching with me, whether that's in-field or over the phone, and also the information for my Patreon, where we have in-field analysis and texting and dating breakdowns as well. Okay, and the last thing is X. You can follow me at Crown Day Game. Last thing is, if you think you have a good topic or question for this series of podcasts, then send me a DM on X or using the contact form on my website. This particular podcast is the last of the 6 podcasts I promised to do in this batch at the beginning of 2024. I didn't want to have a podcast come out or promise to do one every single week because I think eventually you run out of ideas and I don't want to be grasping at straws to try and come up with them. So instead, I committed to doing 6 podcasts, and this is the 6th one in the run. Probably later on this year, I'll pick it back up and then do another 6 podcast run. Today's podcast is on attachment styles. So what is an attachment style? It is your basic tendency, or what you fall back on in terms of how you attach to other people. So when you're a child, this will be to do with how you are, your attachment style with your main caregiver, so typically your mother. And when you grow up, this will start to manifest itself in terms of your attachment style to other people, to potential partners. So we have secure and insecure attachment styles. Secure attachment style is what you expect. You know, you're not fearful that people are going to abandon you. You trust other people, you can rely on them, and you have a sincere belief that they love you and like you and value you. Whereas insecure attachment styles are normally broken down into either anxious or avoidant. So it's probably, or I find it's easier not to think of it in terms of a triangle, as in secure, anxious, and avoidant, and instead as a secure and insecure. And the insecure attachment style will manifest mostly as either anxious or avoidant. So an anxious attachment style is where, when you sense a threat to the relationship, either with your caregiver as a child or with your partner, then you start to feel anxiety towards it. You start to think, what have I done wrong? Are they leaving me? Are they abandoning me? And what people with anxious attachment styles tend to do is, when they feel their relationships are threatened, they act out. So in the literature, this is called protest behavior. This could include things like being angry, crying, or else even pushing the person away. So this is kind of why I say the insecure attachment styles are quite similar, because the avoidant attachment style is in that way. What it says is, like, rather than me trying to have my protest behavior to protest against the threat to the relationship, instead I'm going to act as if I don't even care about the relationship to begin with. So a lot of this comes from I think psychology. They do something called the strange situation test with children. So the baby is with the parent or the caregiver in a room, and the caregiver leaves the room. So the secure baby will, like, wonder where they've gone, and then when they come back, they're happy to see them. The anxiously attached one, when they leave, or what will happen is, both the insecure types will have their protest behavior. So when the caregiver leaves, when they come back, the anxiously attached one will start to throw tantrums or cry. And almost like trying to, it's almost like a punishment on the caregiver, trying to say to them, don't do that to me again. Because they're overly fearful that they're going to lose them, they're anxious. Whereas the avoidant one might actually just not react to the person coming back to the room. They might be distant. They may not emotionally react to them at all. And the way that this turns out in older life, and how we can kind of link it to pickup, is in the sense that being secure is the goal. And a lot of this podcast, I'm basing it on a really great book I read recently called Attached, Are You Anxious, Avoidant, or Secure? How the Science of Adult Attachment Can Help You Find and Keep Love. Well, of course, in this book, they talk about relationships, but we can easily see how it relates to pickup. We typically, they were saying that they typically find that anxious people draw their self-esteem from shows of affection from the partner, from their partners, whereas avoidants have an inflated sense of self-esteem, which they gain from actually pushing people away to maintain their independence. And you can see how this is shown in the pickup literature, because a lot of PUA, especially old school dark triad PUA advice, it teaches men to be narcissists and to develop grandiosity and a false idealized self as the ice cold slayer, i.e. to be totally independent, I don't need women. What that's really saying is they're avoidant. It also tells them, well, what I think is normally what's going on with pickup guys. And also I'm going to link to a very long article from an old blog called The Rawness. He, in his post, talks about codependence and narcissists. And when I was reading that, I was like, wow, this maps perfectly to the anxious avoidant thing, because guys tend to start off as codependents, as in they white knight, you know, they want to do things for other people. They are codependent in that they gain their self-esteem by doing things for other people. They also tend to blame themselves a lot for things that go wrong. And that very well maps over to being an anxious avoidant style. And what PUA often tries to do is to just teach an anxious guy to be like an avoidant guy. Push girls away, you know, give her the cold shoulder, pretend you don't care, be that ice cold player. The problem is that when this guy who is kind of like trying to be learned avoidant, he falls into a trap. Either he goes after anxious girls and is trying to build a false sense of self-esteem because he's kind of getting off in a way that she is the one who's like looking up to him. But when he eventually meets a girl who is avoidant, that's when he falls really hard. And in this post from The Rawness, he puts it as a codependent learns to try and be like a narcissist. And that learned narcissist guy is going to get narcissistic supply, as in fuel for his false idealized self, like the grandiosity that he tries to build his ego around. He gets that grandiosity from other codependents, but then he is totally suckered in by the pure narcissist, as the guy, The Rawness, puts it. And to me as well, that is kind of like a pure avoidant person. You know, they are living off of what other people feed to them. Rawness calls it as like a grandiosity vampire, I think. It's something about vampires. It's like sucking the attention off other people, living off of the energy they give them. Now, that kind of girl, that kind of avoidant narcissistic girl, also ones that probably have borderline personality disorder or tendencies towards it, it's that they are the ones who give off these really awful like shit tests, like the kind of toxic stuff which guys love to talk about, like passing the shit tests. But the thing is that you're not actually passing a test like an exam or something. All you'll really do is feeding into her own grandiosity. She actually gets off on men taking her tests. So I'm seeing this as a sort of narcissistic and avoidant thing coming together, is that that person, it gets off on passing the test, they get off of the attention that guys are giving to her. One amazing quote I had to include here from that Rawness post was that he's talking about the narcissistic girls, and he says, "Oftentimes the interest you observe when passing brutal shit tests isn't sexual interest. It's the interest of a cat that likes playing with her food before killing it." And I thought that was such a perfect way of putting it, because I've seen texting screenshots from guys before where they'll say things like, "Oh, I passed her test," because they continued the conversation after getting what they considered to be a shit test. And it's exactly that. It's like they often, most of the time, vast majority, they never end up sleeping with these girls, but they think they're progressing with a seduction, but in reality they are just feeding the narcissist's ego, or the avoidant person's ego, and the avoidant person's going, or the narcissist is going, "Ah, this person is willing to play my games. They're willing to feed me more grandiosity." This goes back a lot to like my belief is that, you know, if you are talking with a girl who's giving you these kind of shit tests, you'd be like, "No, I don't want to interact with you anymore. You're the kind of insecure person who I don't want to be going after." Another great point that Rawness makes in his post is that he says that, ironically, there's a massive reframe in the PUA community of fool's mate. The idea that You can win chess in like a very few amount of moves, but it's like, what's the point in winning a game like that? But the reframe in the PUA community is that a girl is only worth pursuing if she puts up these tests. And so it's this weird backwards idea that guys only see the seduction as worth going for if the girl is this kind of narcissistic, avoidant kind of girl. So I want to finish off on what I see as quite a typical journey that a lot of guys go through, because they begin as anxious, they begin as that codependent, they try to become like the pure narcissist, as Rawn has called it. They try to become more avoidant, but you know, you can never truly change your attachment style. You can work towards becoming more secure, but it will be something you have to work on your whole life. So step one is that the anxiously attached guy joins the community with low self-esteem. Step two is that he is taught to be like the avoidant guy and develop narcissistic traits, including a grandiose self-idealized image. Now, he does start to get girls, but is eventually dissatisfied, A, because he's been fed the wrong information, and he's going after those narcissistic girls who are just toying with him, so he never feels like he's actually completing the journey. But the main thing is, like, he never really addressed his underlying issues. Like, he, as an anxious person, he had desire for closeness and reassurance. So he never fixed these underlying issues or tried to work towards being more secure. So what happens is he kind of goes through the ringer, and then at the end of it, he feels even more lost because PUA, pickup, and the notches didn't give him the answer to his issues. So that was the whole podcast. I know it's a bit of a winding one, but three things I really recommend reading. The first is this Rawness post, which I will put into the notes underneath the podcast, number one. The second is to read or listen to the audiobook of that attachment style book. It is honestly fantastic, especially when you get to the stage where they're talking about relationships between anxious and avoidant people. Because what can happen with those two types of people, they can get into these relationships where, to begin with, they're drawn closer together, but then the closeness of the relationship triggers the avoidant person's attachment style because they think closeness is bad, so they push someone away to, in quotes, maintain their independence. The anxious person interprets this as a threat and so tries to move towards the avoidant person. Now, some guys might be thinking, oh, that sounds perfect, that's such good game, but this is just going to lead to a life of misery, because if you're the avoidant person, you can never actually get the closeness and the secure relationship that you truly want, because you're always misinterpreting people's time a bit close to you as an infringement on your independence, and the anxious person, of course, never gets what they want. And even if you think to yourself, well, that's going to be fine because I'm avoidant and I'll just keep her around forever, one thing that seems to happen with anxious people is that even though to begin with they get their attachment style is triggered by these actions of the avoidant, eventually they become numb to the situation and they just become indifferent and leave. And so, of course, the avoidant person is left feeling totally lost. And what typically happens is that when I talk about attachment styles, it's like it gets triggered and then it comes into effect and it goes away after a certain amount of time. So what happens with the avoidant person is that, you know, a few months, years later, they look back and they think, oh, that person was so good for me, why couldn't I have just stayed with them? But it was because they never tried to become more secure in their attachment style and they kept on pushing the person away. So the three things, yep, there was that Rawness post, there's the book on attachment styles, and then also just the Wikipedia page on attachment styles. It's quite long, but it's worth reading, so highly recommended. And I do hope that reading those things will help you with your inner game. Okay, I hope you enjoyed the podcast.